Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Show here, you can bring up anything that you want to talk about. All you got to do is dial in here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian
and Chris.
We are expecting nobody, hopefully, at some point here. I was in touch with them earlier today. There's some news that's possibly going to be affecting him. Regarding the cryptocurrency exchange attacks going on out there where the federal government is going hard and fast against as many cryptocurrency exchanges, it seems, as they possibly can, or at least the biggies. They're going after Coinbase. They went after Kraken. They already beat Kraken. They didn't even have to really do much more than send a threat to Kraken, and they... Kraken handed over $30 million in order for the SEC to go away. But I suspect they're only going to go away for a time.
Yeah.
And then they're going to come back. If you let the bully... If a bully comes up to you on the schoolyard and says, give me your lunch money, and you just hand it over, thinking that the bully's just going to go away forever and never do anything else to you again... You got a hard lesson coming, because that bully's going to come back around, and he's going to do it again, and he's going to do it again until you finally do something about it.
Fortunately, that's most Americans.
That they'll just pay up.
Just pay up, and they keep paying up, and they keep paying up, and the numbers keep going up. The amount of money the bully comes and asks for, or I shouldn't say asks for,
demands
you know.
And you can't blame Kraken for it because, you know, they said, and they didn't come right out and say this. For listeners that don't know, Kraken is one of the largest cryptocurrency exchanges in the United States. When the SEC came after them and said, hey, look, we're going to sue you because you have crypto staking. And we at the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, believe that crypto staking is a security. So therefore, we're going to sue you. Just like we've sued all these other companies. But they hadn't sued anybody for staking yet. So Kraken was the first one to really be targeted over staking, which for listeners that aren't familiar is a technology that allows people that have a certain type of crypto to quote-unquote stake that crypto, meaning you kind of temporarily lock it down for some amount of time. And in return, you are given a reward for that. You're given a portion of all the new... crypto tokens that are being manifested, basically. So that's kind of what staking does. They say that it secures the network. It's this alternative to proof of work, which is the Bitcoin mining and cryptos that get mined into existence. Staked coins use staking to secure the network instead. So it's kind of a different way of setting things up. So the SEC is saying staking, at least staking as a service, which is what Kraken was doing, where they would... customers could just stake their coins without having to jump through any real difficult hoops or anything like that, is a security. And Kraken just folded. They said, okay, $30 million, here you go, and handed it over to him. And I presume the reason for that, and the CEO of Kraken, sort of alluded to this at the time when it happened. He said, without saying these words, he said, this was going to cost us more money. If we fought this in court, this could have cost us a lot more than $30 million. They obviously thought they were going to lose because, the SEC so far is batting 1,000 when it comes to taking down cryptocurrency companies and exchanges and such. Now, they haven't done very many of them so far, but they beat Library.
Yeah.
And they haven't got a ruling on Ripple yet, but if it goes in the same way Library went, they're probably going to win that one too.
you know, it's interesting because we know how these things go. The system is set up against you. It's set up against the person. It's in favor of the regulators. You know, it's overly broad, you know, especially the interpretation. And then you throw, even if you, whether it's a judge or a jury, the judges are former prosecutors. The juries are hand-selected, you know, in favor to favor the prosecution. You know, and the American public is, you know, we're brainwashed from a very young age to say, you know, police, law enforcement, good, and, you know, everybody else bad. It's crazy, but, you know, there's fear-mongering that goes on. Every person out there, you know, you tell little kids, it's like if anybody ever comes up to you and says anything or starts talking to you, you know, they're evil, and that's not the real world. Most people are good, but
well, this is why you can't blame Kraken for this, and that's why it's a little different than the schoolyard bully analogy that I gave before. Like, with the schoolyard bully, at least you're dealing with one punk, right? And that's it. With the federal government, you're dealing with a system of punks, a group of them that have unlimited funding to crush you with. The schoolyard bully, he's just a jerk. He's got his pocket money, and that's about it. But the federal government will, you know, if they put their sights on you, you might as well just be destroyed at that point. Because if that's what they want to do to you, they will do it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking back to the Crypto 6 trial and how many lawyers the prosecution had versus how many lawyers the defense had.
3-1.
Yeah. So, yeah, it gives you an idea. And that doesn't include all of the other, you know.
Had at least 3 assistants.
Assistants and agents that, you know, were involved. And
we had 1 assistant.
Yeah. It's
and if you don't count me.
And that's not, and that wasn't even a public defender. So.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, with that, we're going to go to your phone calls here. The number is 603-283-6160. They're just giving the warm-up for what's coming, which is more news about what the SEC is doing on their attack against the cryptocurrency industry. Of course, we also saw that the Commodity Futures Exchange Commission, CFTC, Trade Commission, Commodity Futures Trade Commission, also came at the crypto industry, I think it was early this week, with an attack against the Binance Exchange, which is the world's largest exchange. So it's not just the SEC. The CFTC is going after them. Of course, we know the FBI is targeting individual sellers as well. So this is a full-on, multi-pronged approach to try to crush the crypto industry. But let's talk to Tom. He's in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, well, Trump has gotten indicted.
He did, yeah.
They wanted him to go and turn himself in on Friday, but they have to get the courthouse building ready. And not just that, but they have to still work out some other issues, like whether he's going to be charged as an adult and whether he's competent to stand trial. Now,
if they can try children as adults, you think they could try adults as children, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, went on record saying that he's not going to assist in extraditing Trump because Ron DeSantis doesn't happen to agree with the charges and so forth. But in doing so, even though Trump is going to go to New York anyway, Ron DeSantis, it's a moot point, but he just went on record saying that he's going to defy the United States Constitution, which is crystal clear in Article 4, Section 2. A person charged in any state with treason, felony, or other crime who shall flee from justice and be found in another state shall, on demand of the executive authority of the state from which he fled, be delivered up to be removed to the state having jurisdiction of the crime.
I don't think we know. Yeah. Has it been revealed that these are felonies yet? I know that Ricky called last night and claimed that he had heard that the New York Times said that. But as I understand it, the indictments have not yet been or the charges have not yet been released.
Yeah, my understanding is that the Supreme Court has ruled that the states have no obligation to cooperate with the feds, too, already anyway. So I'm not sure if that...
Well, this isn't the federal. This is New York State.
It's a state offense, but here's the thing. The United States Constitution requires he be delivered up. Now, whether it's a state duty, it wasn't clear how that could be enforced, but even so, they would be defying their constitutional oath of office by failing to do so.
I mean, as you already pointed out, Tom, the DeSantis character is doing nothing more than political signaling. He knows Trump is turning himself in. he knew that Trump was turning himself in before he announced the statement that he was going to not extradite Trump. So essentially, it's a completely meaningless gesture. And now, a lot of the people who are on the conservative side who love DeSantis and just completely don't care that he locked Florida down and ignore the fact that he locked Florida down for several months before all of a sudden he became against the lockdowns. This guy's a total snake. But they just love DeSantis, so they're touting him as, like, you know, Trump's savior in this case. And he's doing absolutely nothing. He just simply said some words.
Now, what amazes me... But I'm just bringing that up. There's a pattern here among a lot of Republicans, just like the ones who say that Mike Pence was a traitor. Because you know what Mike Pence did? He did exactly what the 12th Amendment says he's supposed to do. Quote, the president of the Senate shall, in the presence of the Senate and House of Representatives, open all the certificates, and the votes shall then be counted, close quote. The nerve of him doing exactly what the United States Constitution says he's supposed to do. You know, so
are you referring to when Trump was impeached?
No, I'm talking about the Electoral College, when the all these visitors went into the United States Capitol and kind of delayed the proceedings for a little while. They were openly... physically resisting the fulfillment of the 12th Amendment of the United States Constitution. And in doing so, they were claiming that they were defending the Constitution by physically resisting its own fulfillment.
Right, Tom, so thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. Let's go on to this caller. You're on our SIP line. Hello there. What's your name?
Hi, Ian. This is David Hathaway in Arizona.
Hey, David. This is Sheriff David Hathaway from Santa Cruz County there on the border of Arizona. Welcome. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, yeah. Hi, Ian. This is my first time getting through on this, well, configuring the SIP line where it would work for me, and I hope it sounds better than a phone call.
It's weird. The SIP line's kind of weird. It, like, it starts a little shaky, then it usually clears up. So I think generally it's better than a phone call. But anyway, go ahead with your thoughts.
Yeah. I just want to mention, if anyone's in Arizona, we're having a little celebration this weekend for the fact that we succeeded in getting the border wall removed that former Governor Doug Ducey put up late last year, and I was out there with the protesters, preventing them from coming into my county. They were in a neighboring county, Cochise County. Mm-hmm. What had happened, the previous Arizona governor that went out of office at the end of last December had declared an emergency on the border and said he was going to build his own wall. He's a big Trump fan, and he was getting these shipping containers, these 40-foot shipping containers, stacking them one on top of the other, welding them together and putting razor wire on it. And he was using contractors for the construction and private security out there, so there was no government people out there. And as it moved closer to my county, I went out there with a group of protesters, and we successfully stopped them. It was like a Tiananmen Square-type situation in the middle of the night. The contractors would try to keep going, and we wouldn't let them come into this county. I did a lot of media about it. Against what he was doing, and eventually they agreed. A new governor came in, and Ducey, right in his last 2 weeks of office, agreed to dismantle it because he was getting sued by the federal government because this was on federal land, National Forest Service land, that this was happening. And he cost the taxpayers of Arizona about $200 million with this stunt of putting the containers there and then in neighboring counties, not my border county, and then the expense to remove them all. And, of course, they damaged the public land with bulldozers out there making flat spots to be able to lay them down, and they put razor wire on top of them. But anyway, if anyone wanted to attend the little celebration of our success on that, you can go to borderwallresistance.com or borderwallresistance@gmail.com, and there'd be a group of us out there
this Sunday
in the afternoon just celebrating the success of that.
Nice. Now, let's talk a little bit more about, you know, why this is important. You aren't just the sheriff of Santa Cruz County for the last couple of years down in Arizona, but you, prior to that, were an author, and you literally wrote a book about immigration freedom from a libertarian perspective, because this is probably one of the most important and misunderstood issues of our time. Even among some in the liberty movement, this is in a lot of cases, one issue that many libertarians still do not understand. And so you picked this issue as something you wanted to write on. What motivated you to do that?
Yeah, you know, well, actually, it was because of that very reason. I saw kind of a divide within the libertarian camp. And I'm a, you know, I really enjoy reading Austrian economics, the writings of, you know, Mises and Rothbard and Karl Menger, Hans Hermann Hoppe. But there was a group of them that were proposing state activity in only one area. In all other areas, they call themselves anarcho-capitalist and voluntarist and let the market figure everything out. But I couldn't understand why they still wanted armed border guards, and they wanted the border patrol on the border doing this. Like, why don't you have free market solutions on this like anything else? And the basis for that, let me give you the quick basis on that. As long as there's voluntary arrangements, like I own ranch property in two border counties in Arizona. If I want to rent a house to a Mexican, it's a voluntary transaction. Mm-hmm. I'm the landlord, he's the tenant. That should be fine. If I want to employ a Mexican, he comes across the border to work for me, to work on my ranch, we should be able to do that. That's voluntary on both sides. You know, right. If I'm a merchant, I have a store, and I want to sell something to him, it should, if as long as it's voluntary, that should be allowed to happen. And it's just kind of confused me of why some libertarians take the other side on that issue. They want the state involved in that area, but in no other area. So as I was exploring that issue, I went through from what I would call the Austro-libertarian perspective and analyzed point by point everything they were saying to debunk their supposed quote-unquote libertarian position that we needed in state border enforcers.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, you know, I completely agree with you. I think it's ridiculous. But, you know, it's funny. When I've had this conversation with I guess some libertarians. I tend to not think they're very libertarian when they take this position. But why don't you then support a border between New Hampshire and Massachusetts, right? And they always are against it. And I don't understand that. You know, it's like
you know, all libertarian principles can be rooted back to private property. And you, Chris, have the absolute authority to invite anybody onto your private property that you want or exclude anybody from your private property that you want. So I always say, what gives somebody the authority to put another border around my property? Like, you could call that person Darth Vader or the United States of America. But if I have a border around my property and I have property right near the border with Mexico, what gives somebody else the right, a third party, to put another border around my border that overrules my ability to invite whoever I want or exclude whoever I want from coming onto my property? You can trace all this back to private property rights, and I think any libertarian that disagrees on that is violating private property rights.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Welcome nobody, by the way.
I mean, they're not necessarily violating property rights by disagreeing, but they would certainly be violating property rights if they took violent action against it. And, I mean, there are times when I would prefer to have a border. Like, I would love to have a border between me and the U.S. government. you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't think
sufficient attack dogs on that border that they wouldn't pass. But, you know, and anybody who isn't openly hostile to me, as they are, I have no problem with them being around. If I don't like them, I'll just be someplace else.
Yeah, you know, I'm not against borders. I think if it's your property, you get to put up with the border. But if it's not your property, why do you get to decide that, you know, I or some Mexican can or cannot cross?
Just because you're afraid.
And they don't have nukes, generally.
The Mexicans?
I've never heard of an illegal alien being caught with a nuke. So
I've had some spicy tacos.
You know, but, go ahead. Nuclear tacos rock.
If you go through the chapters in my book, Nobody, you'll see point by point these common objections raised by certain libertarians. Like, I don't like the neighbors that live next to me in my neighborhood, and maybe they came from somewhere else. But if it's not your property, you have no valid objection. So that's one of the chapters. There's other examples that have been used by Austro-libertarians, like Hans Hermann Hoppe says that
most of the neighbors I don't like came from Massachusetts, so, you know, border enforcement wouldn't do me a damn bit of good.
What was your point going to be there on Hoppe?
Yeah, that Hans Hermann Hoppe wrote about the idea of a king, that a democratically elected president should have the mindset of a king, and that he should exclude other people from the whole country and use border enforcers as part of the state, because if he had the mindset of the king, he'd say, I own the whole country anyway, this is devaluing my country. But then you're having central planners at that point deciding what's adding value and what's not mm-hmm. adding value. And you can never know that. I mean, Austrian economics is not supposed to be prescriptive. It's supposed to be descriptive, describing how the market works, rather than saying what would be better for everybody to do.
There was a guy named L. Neil Smith who wrote some really good science fiction. I loved it. The Forge of the Elders and the Gallatin Paradox and some others, the American Zone. But he did an alternate history where after the Constitution didn't work out so well during the Whiskey Rebellion, they basically went back to Washington, hung George Washington, and reverted to the to the Articles of Confederation, but they added to them a thing called the covenant of unanimous consent. And so basically, there are some people that I think you could get unanimous consent to keep out of the neighborhood, like, you know, people who were just barely not offensive enough to shoot, you know.
Chapters in my book that there's this claim that the whole country would want to keep certain people out. Let's say Guatemalans, Mexicans, Bolivians, that the whole country would want to do that. But you can't claim, you know, you can't just say that you would have unanimity, just what you're saying. You can't have unanimous agreement from everybody in the country to not sell products to Mexicans or to not rent houses to Mexicans.
Well, I mean, it's proven by reality that that's not true. There's plenty of people who want to bring those folks up here, whether they be related to them or whether they just want to hire them, as you pointed out. And so what you could do, I mean, the whole country is way too big to be able to make that decision. But if you had a neighborhood of people, then they could absolutely build some walls, and they could absolutely, with their little neighborhood Nazi association, come to an agreement on who they wanted to keep out, and then they could pay for it.
And actually, Nazis were one of the people I had in mind, that almost nobody I know wants them around. We, just about everybody I know would be perfectly happy to say, you know, we don't want you guys marching around in your jack boots. You give us the damn willies, and you remind us of the government.
David, I know we can keep going on this. Do you want to just give one last plug for your event here and the website real quick?
Yeah, it's borderwallresistance.com, and this afternoon, 1 p.m. Arizona time at the Mexican border.
This afternoon?
I mean Sunday afternoon.
Sunday, okay. Borderwallresistance.com, you said?
Yes, that's
all right. Very good. Thank you, Sheriff David Hathaway. Appreciate the call here tonight. We've got to talk to about immigration as well as all libertarian things. Glad to have him. More coming up.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. A tornado outbreak is underway in the Midwest. There are reports of mass casualties and widespread damage after two strong tornadoes ripped through central Arkansas in Little Rock and the city of Jacksonville. There are also tornado warnings that have been issued for parts of Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Texas. Republicans are rallying around former President Trump following the news of his indictment yesterday. Trump was indicted by a Manhattan grand jury investigating payments to adult film actress Stormy Daniels officials during the 2016 presidential campaign.
This is one more example of this two-tiered justice system that has so many Americans literally questioning the fundamental fairness of the administration of justice in our country.
That was former Vice President Mike Pence reacting to the indictment. Dave Collins, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Yeah. It's Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris. And you can join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com. The hits just keep on coming to the cryptocurrency industry, and it's getting a little hard to keep track of it all, honestly, because there's so many different attacks simultaneously that the various federal government agencies are involving themselves
in. Have you seen... there's like a diagram of these attacks that have occurred just like in the past couple of months. Yeah, somebody actually made a diagram of like the different attacks just because of how many there are to try and keep things like straight.
I'd like to see that.
Now, when you say the hits keep on coming, you mean contract killings, right?
Not quite. I mean, not to my knowledge, at least. I don't think they've gone that far, but they're definitely taking out businesses.
Yeah. They're killing businesses. Yes. They're killing people's livelihoods.
Correct.
They're killing people's hope.
Yeah, they haven't killed Coinbase yet. They're going after Coinbase, the SEC, which is the number one exchange in the United States. They're going after the number one exchange in the world, which is Binance. That was the big news that started this week off, because I think last week on this show we talked about Coinbase.
Yeah.
Well, after the weekend was over, the CFTC, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, announced they were going after Binance for illegally trading commodities.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
So basically, if you trade it under commodities rules, the securities guys will come after you. And if you trade it under securities rules, the commodities scumbags will come after you.
Or they'll send the FBI after you if they
don't
like it.
Yeah, it's interesting how, like, in some instances, like, if you, I believe money transmission is an example, you can be a money transmitter or you can be a bank, but you can't be both.
Mm. And that's kind of interesting. But it's what's interesting about it, I think, is that...
Well, here you can
I can't be either. I'm not privileged.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But it's interesting here that that doesn't seem to apply.
No, here you can be a money transmitter, or you can be a securities dealer, or you can be a commodities dealer, just depending on which government agency wants it.
Which is crazy.
And that's where we're at. So the latest in this attack is there's a U.S. exchange. I had never heard of this one, but I want to mention it just because it's happening. Maybe some of our listeners are familiar with it. BXE? BXE? B-E-A-X-Y? Have either of you guys heard of this one?
Never heard of
it. It must have been pretty small time. At least it's never come across our radar. But it came across the Securities and Exchange Commission's radar as of this was a couple days ago, when this news hit. International Business Times reporting that the SEC charged crypto firm BXE.com and several executives for registration failures on Wednesday, expanding regulators' push to rein in the industry. The SEC accused a Chicago-based firm.
Rein it in. They're trying to shut it down.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a bit of an exaggeration. Yeah.
Behind BXE and some affiliates serving such roles as exchange, broker, and clearing agency without registering with the SEC. That structure, which is common throughout the crypto industry, is one the SEC's chair has criticized for conflicts of interest and risks to investors. Because, you know, they're all
talk about conflicts of interest. How about the damn government? You know, they're the ones who are getting paid off to ruin people's lives.
Well, see, it's all about protecting the investors, because you totally can't go and lose all of your money in betting on stocks.
Yeah, or just outright gambling.
That's what it is.
Well, they're protecting investors by throwing them in prison. That doesn't really help anything.
The crazy thing about this is that investments all have different amounts of risk associated with them and different rewards. And the riskier investments often have bigger potential rewards.
Of course.
But they fail more often than not. So maybe 1 in 10 of your risky investments is successful, but you get greater reward. And this is actually this is what venture capitalists do. They go after those really risky startup ventures, but most of them fail.
But the one that does work out, maybe it makes up the difference for all the failures.
So it's just kind of crazy to be like, oh, this is too risky. It's like, and who are you to make that decision as to what I can invest in or what I can't invest in?
Yeah, we know what's really going on here. This is about protecting the banks. This is about protecting the central bank specifically from this competition.
Yeah, I mean, the risk is that if people could get banking that they could afford, if people could actually be free to make their own decisions, they might realize that the government is nothing but a vicious gang of psychopaths in their way. And so in order to keep the majority of people under control, they have to keep them enslaved. They have to keep them poor.
It's interesting. This is sort of surrounding the same topic, right? I mean, because they fear it because it's people moving away from the dollar. But I believe it's Brazil has exited using dollars or something along that line. I don't know if you've heard of this, but in the last couple days, I think, or they're trading.
They're going
non-dollars.
I think with the Chinese and the Russians,
which is huge. I mean,
good for them.
This is why we invaded. What was it? Iraq. And
I did not invade Iraq.
Well,
I have nothing to do with that.
The government, the U.S. government, invaded Iraq and Syria, I believe.
I told them
Syria
that
had their. What, do you guys know what they were going to call it? Is it the dingo or something? Or dino?
I don't know.
The dinar.
Dinar, that's it.
Gold,
that's
right?
Actually gold-backed currency
all over,
for Africa.
The Islamic world, that's a name for a unit of currency.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up as well, Chris, because I actually had a story in show prep for tonight. So we'll definitely get to it.
Okay.
About BRICS, the other organization of mega countries on the planet, and what's going on there, because we already talked about the deal between Brazil and China to cut out the dollar in their trade. That's the big announcement from this week, but there's also big news about BRICS in a couple different ways, so we can talk about that as well. But I want to get into this story a little bit deeper here about BXE, which is apparently one day after BXE announced to their customers that they will be immediately suspending service, saying that, quote, due to the uncertain regulatory environment surrounding our business, we've made the difficult decision to cease operations. And then the next day,
terrorists are terrifying.
Yeah, Yeah, and then the next day, the SEC brought charges. They also charged founder Artak Hamazspian with raising $8 million in an unregistered offering of the token BXY and misappropriating at least $900,000 for gambling and other personal use, they claim. Lawyers for the firm and executives other than him say they're, quote, looking forward to the continuing development of cryptocurrency and blockchain and its integration into globally regulated markets. However, they're out of business, so they won't be helping with that. Hamazspian did not respond immediately to a request for comment. The SEC chair said, of course, your typical tough talk that you would expect from them, quote, this case serves as yet another reminder to crypto intermediaries that their business models must comply and adapt to the law, not the other way around.
Which they cannot do, because they won't even tell us what the damn law is.
Correct. First of all, there is no law.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's just whatever whim the tyrants come up with today.
Right. It would be one thing, and it wouldn't be acceptable to me, but it would be at least one thing if there actually was a law that Congress passed in regards to regulating cryptocurrency. I'm not saying that I want that, but there isn't. That doesn't exist. They can't point to it, and that's why they're going after Coinbase, as we discussed last week, because Coinbase kept going to them saying, hey, look, we got millions of dollars. We'll spend it however you want us to spend it. We want to be compliant. Tell us how to be compliant. They said to Coinbase, well, why don't you tell us what you think you should do to be compliant? And Coinbase spent millions of dollars hiring attorneys trying to cook up a regulatory structure for crypto exchanges. And then the SEC said, nah, after canceling their appointment that
they actually didn't respond at all.
They didn't respond. Then eventually they did have an appointment to meet, and they canceled the appointment and then told Coinbase, nah, we're just going to go after you in an enforcement capacity. So they never actually did say yay or nay to Coinbase's proposal of regulation. So they don't exist. You can't just go into the office and fill out some forms and get registered with this bureaucracy.
How can they put people in prison for violating secret laws that are so classified that nobody can find out what they are?
Well, now, in this case, it's not clear there is actually criminal charges against these exchanges. They seem to only want to come after the littlest guys like us and the Crypto 6 and other local Bitcoin sellers criminally. But the next line here does say the charges were filed in Chicago federal court expand a crackdown by U.S. prosecutors and regulators on alleged abuses in the digital asset industry. But they're not saying here that there are per se criminal charges. They just mentioned Sam Bankman-Fried. So we know they do bring criminal charges against some people, but most of these are, when it's the SEC coming after you, I think they can do criminal, but it seems like the SEC cases so far have been exclusively...
Oh, they can definitely do criminal.
But they seem like they've been exclusively civil so far, meaning they're just trying
against
to get bankrupt.
They weren't civil with me.
Yeah. I mean,
it wasn't the SEC.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, and Sam Bankman was sort of a, I think anyway, was a little bit different case probably in some of these other exchanges.
A little bit.
Well, I mean, he literally stole like $2 billion.
So they say.
Yeah, I mean, this is what they claim. This is the problem. This is what they claim. Yeah. And we don't know.
But yet they didn't drive a tank into his house.
This is true.
They took their sweet time waiting for him to show up on his own time.
You know, one of the problems is every time.
Because they weren't looking for an excuse to murder him. They were looking for an excuse to murder us.
Every time they make these accusations, they're liars. They're liars and thieves. So.
Even though
it sounds bad, but if you can't believe what's coming out of their mouths, how can
it looks bad. I mean, his guys are flipping on him.
Yeah,
which,
does. But if you look at what happens with these cases, they pressure people into flipping because they themselves are then being pressured, even if they hadn't done anything, to say something to help the prosecution convict somebody who may not even be guilty of anything.
So, in related news, so BXY's gone, okay? That one, we never heard of it, but they were a U.S.-based exchange. This is going to be interesting to see how many U.S.-based exchanges remain at this point, because now there's another exchange called CEX.io. It was one of those exchanges I'd signed up for years ago, but they didn't service New Hampshire at the time due to New Hampshire not having any regulations in place, and a lot of these businesses want regulations before they'll even do business. But I keep getting their emails, because they got my email, so they send me emails. And was this 2 days ago? Tuesday, I received an email from CEX saying that, quote, in light of the current climate regarding staking products in the United States, we've come to a difficult impasse regarding our staking and automated staking services. Unfortunately, CEX.io staking and automated staking services for U.S. customers will be suspended on April 1st of 2023. While we arrived at this decision
April Fools.
In an effort to protect the CEX community from any legal exposure while the regulatory landscape remains in flux, as though their community of users was somehow in jeopardy here from what might happen to them over staking. No, they did this to try to cover their own butt and try to, you know, exit staking before the SEC charges come at them. Because, again, this is why they went after Kraken. This is why they went after, is why we believe they're going after Coinbase, at least partially.
Well, what we need at this point is to, you know, screw the, you know, hookers, Lambos, and bro and blow guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we need more Satoshis. We need people who can figure out how to take it underground,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's what it always should have been.
Sure. It should have been Monero to start with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not necessarily Monero. I'm thinking more about the business of it.
Hmm.
Because the technology is one thing. Like, the internet came along in the 60s.
Okay.
But it wasn't until the 90s when business models finally came around to use that new technology and turn it into profit.
Okay.
And
well, it was illegal before that, 1994.
You know, people have been, you know, wasting their time trying to obey the government when they should be figuring out how not to get caught.
I mean, you've had mixing services, you've had privacy coins, you now have decentralized exchanges. Mm-hmm. So those developments are happening.
But the problem is people know who the developers are on some of those things.
Yep, that's a problem.
Developers can be shot in the head even if they can't be arrested.
Right, and saw what happened.
The U.S. government murdered 1 million people in Iraq. They wouldn't mind murdering you. It wouldn't bother them a bit.
Right, and to your point, we saw what happened with the Tornado Cash guy, I think, about a year ago.
That's true.
I believe they picked him up in Europe, and last I heard, he was still in jail pending a trial on making software.
Yeah,
because for listeners that don't know, Tornado Cash is an Ethereum-based mixing service where you deposit your Ethereum tokens or whatever into it, and then on the other end, it comes out to an address that you specify after being mixed up purportedly with other users' tokens, and they arrested that guy because he was identifiable.
Yeah.
And the 2 weeks ago, the SEC went after a decentralized autonomous organization by targeting the people who were not anonymous in that particular group.
You know, there's a reason. People should have learned from the Bitcoin founder as well as the Monero founder.
Who was also anonymous.
Yeah, both of them were anonymous. People should have learned. Like you think developers would be a little bit smarter than sometimes many are.
Maybe there's an attraction
The thing is, developers tend to throw code at the wall and see what works. And everything seemed to work for a long time, which was probably by design because they wanted to sucker as many people in as they could.
Naive. I think naive is the word we're looking for here.
Well, maybe some of them liked the fame. You know, they were attracted it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, I think there may be certain circumstances where people did stuff openly in public, as an example, but they had a motivation for it. Political motivation as opposed to, and I think there's a difference though, because I think most of these developers who are being arrested weren't doing it so that they could have a case, like a day in court.
Mm-hmm.
They
love the tech.
Yeah, right. They're doing it for the tech, and that's not when. And it may be
you shouldn't have to plan a court trip when you're doing a development project. Right,
right.
You shouldn't have to have a lawyer on standby.
But no,
that's what it's turning into.
That is exactly what you do have to do if you're going to be public about it. And
now
and,
you do. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But here's the one opportunity that I see. is they're going after freedom in a lot of other ways. Mostly, of course, the rich people, they co-opt them instead of killing them or throwing them in prison. But Google doesn't want to give search results anymore. Mm-hmm. Not like they used to.
Yeah,
they're threatening to shoot down to shut down the Internet Archive.
I heard about that. Yeah,
there are a hell of a lot of things that are unquestionably moral that used to be able to operate freely on the web, mm-hmm. and now they need to go to the dark web.
Have you heard of the Restrict Act?
yeah.
Well, I think we're going to be getting to that coming up.
Yeah, but, we should comment on that as well. I know they covered it Wednesday, but you actually run a VPN service, so you've got a perspective here that I don't think
was
represented.
Far, far, far farther from the sound of it than just VPN. That's actually, that sounds like, you know, you're exaggerating the act, but I think it really the way it's far worse than VPN. It's affecting everybody.
All right, well, we'll talk about that coming up too, but.
All the conservatives on board with that by saying they're going to shut down TikTok.
Yep.
Is it too late, nobody, to save the cryptocurrency industry? I mean, are there too many public services, too many public projects to anonymize all of a sudden? I mean, this isn't something that can be done overnight, right?
I mean, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I think the people who want to showboat are going to keep trying to showboat, you know. But I have no doubt that there will be refugees on the dark web who maybe aren't talking as much about what they're doing, but they're still doing it.
They're still developing.
You know, because, you know, there's an old saying by one of the guys who developed the internet. Helped develop the internet. He was a libertarian. He said the net interprets the censorship as damage and routes around it.
Yeah.
And so what needs to happen in the long run is we need to escape the big services. Because anything like Twitter, there's two possibilities. Either they'll screw the hell out of you, and if they won't, then the government will screw the hell out of them.
Right.
Sooner or later. So either way, you're going to be victims of tyranny. And most people, when left to their own devices, will decide, well, I'd rather run my business like a tyrant than find myself in prison or dead.
Mm-hmm.
So
we have alternatives to that. We have Mastodon. We have, you know, different decentralized options.
There are some definitely less centralized options. I'd like to see things that were more underground. You know, I'd like to see things that were more discreet, that maybe you don't tell everybody about it. Maybe you just tell the people that you think are actually worth interacting with about it. Because I'll tell you, there was a time on the internet when you could go on Usenet and, like, 8 out of 10 articles were written by some college professor and were really saying something worth hearing.
Mm.
And then Al Gore came along with his morons and it all went to hell. Mm.
So, well, I hope you're right, and I think that, you know, as the government continues to crack down, you're right, the natural result of that is going to be more people being a little more quiet about what they're up to, developing secretly, releasing anonymously, and maybe we'll see some more in that direction.
Yeah, and I think that's healthy because, you know, these people are tyrants, they're terrified. Because people are starting to understand slowly but surely. People are figuring out that COVID came along because they genetically engineered it. to come along. Now, whether they were intentionally trying to kill us or whether they were trying to develop a weapon for war and so they could kill other random people, I don't know, and I don't care. I think the government is probably going to see a period of instability ahead. Maybe something like we're seeing in France. Except, unlike the French, we have guns.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Americans actually get pushed that far, because it seems like the French are more likely to take to the streets over some relatively small things as compared to fat and happy Americans, was just looking at...
Yeah, but for how long?
Well, we're still fat, but most of us ain't even a little bit happy.
Okay, well, they're comfortable.
I spend... When I go on Twitter... I don't see a lot of happy campers. I see a lot of people who are screaming at each other because they're getting screwed. And the thing is, they need to stop screaming at each other and figure out the source of the screwing. And the source of the screwing is the government.
Yep, that's true.
I think this kind of goes into the whole situation where the United States has an advantage, and the people in the United States have benefited from, you know, the advantages that may be disappearing in the future.
Mm-hmm. Like the dominance of the dollar.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it may be, you know, it's hard to fathom still. Personally, I think it's hard to fathom still, you know, the collapse of, like, the U.S. government or the dollar. But it seems like it may be coming. And there's been no success by any other country or, a bunch of countries, but, you know, other countries, doesn't mean that it won't happen. And it seems with, you know, Russia and China and now Brazil and who knows how many others may join that club. I hear even India, I think, is
part of the BRICS. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa.
Yeah, I mean, these are not small countries. I mean,
they're India, on the up and coming.
Yeah, India is huge in terms of population. China is
it's
huge
about
in terms
to cross
of population.
A billion people, I believe. So it's going to actually top China this year. They're on track to become the number one most populated nation on the planet. And we're going to continue with the discussion here, because I do have BRICS in the news. We got the Restrict Act as well, plus more about the crypto exchanges in the United States shutting down. I haven't even gotten through it all yet. There's at least two more worth talking about here. And the question is, how many of them are left already? It's Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.